try to deserve anything that God has blessed us with. And I'm nobody. We don't deserve anything but hell. But I praise God that Jesus Christ paid it all for us, that we can go to heaven one day. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles up if you would. John chapter number 19. Statements of love from the cross. Statements of love from the cross. We looked at the first one last week. The statements of forgiveness. The statements of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he was on the cross lingering and dying and bleeding, as he was being rejected, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even people who had once praised his name, as they walked by shaking their heads at him, saying, if you're really Christ, come off the cross. As they did that, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he wasn't just talking about them. He was talking about you. He was talking about me. He saw the need he had to be on that cross and to die for our sins. And we talked last week about the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. See, in the Old Testament, when they would slay the lamb, that just simply took care of the sins for a year. Just covered them for a year. But when Jesus died, it eliminated sins forever. Once for all. So when he died on that cross, and he whispered the statement before he died, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me. But look at the second statement he makes. A statement of compassion. A statement of compassion here in John chapter number 19, verse number 26, he says this, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, now that disciple is identified as John, who wrote the Gospel of John, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, who is John, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now he said, now wait a minute. Why is that a statement of compassion? Where's the compassion in that? Well, look at verse number 26. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He is dying. He is bleeding. He is suffering. And he is caring more about his mother and his disciple than he cares about himself. You know what our biggest problem in life is? It's us. It's all about us. It makes what makes us happy, what satisfies us, what pleases us. We put ourselves above everything else. How many of you agree that's our biggest problem? How many of you struggled with yourself this week? How many of you struggled with yourself this morning? That bed felt good this morning, didn't it? Hugging that pillow. A few more snorts, a little bit of drool. Oh, it's time to get up. We care about us. And you know how I can prove it? Think about how much time you spend in front of the mirror. Think about how much time you do to make other people be happy with you. Now, you better be glad that I come in and spend some time in the mirror, because otherwise my hair would be hairspray it down. I'd be too distracting. What hair? There you go. Exactly. It becomes about us. And that's the problem. But when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, he had compassion on everybody else except for himself. So he looks at his mother and he says, Woman, behold thy son. See, he knew that with him dying, that nobody was going to take care of his mother. See, in Jewish culture, the oldest son, which Jesus was her oldest son, had the responsibility of taking care of his mother and the rest of the family. Because apparently, Joseph had died by now. We're not exactly sure what age Jesus was when Joseph died, because we don't see Joseph mentioned anymore. And we see this statement made right here. So apparently Joseph had died, and there was nobody left to take care of the widow except for the oldest son. And that oldest son was Jesus. And so now Jesus is looking down at his mother, and he's showing compassion on her, and he's saying, I'm going to arrange for you to have somebody take care of you. Because unless somebody stepped in to take care of the widow, guess what? She died. She had to beg. She had to have other people pitch in. And most of the time, those widows didn't make it. So Jesus is essentially saying, Mom, John's going to take care of you from here. But here's something else interesting that we get from this passage. I want you to go back just a few verses here in John chapter 19. And I want us to look at verse number 23. It says this, then the soldiers, who are the soldiers? The ones that are surrounding Jesus and the thieves as they were dying. The soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Now some people believe that they're talking about making four parts from his tunic. That's not what they're talking about. Most scholars believe that the Jewish men had five parts of clothing that they wore every single day. All right? Five parts of clothing. Because look at the verse again with me. It says this. The soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. An S, plural, means more than one. And it says, and made four parts. So they took four parts of his clothing. And then it says, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. So it added up there. There's five pieces of his clothing that they're parting out. And all four of them got a part of his clothing, part of the thing that went on his head. They had that. They had other parts of his clothing. But the tunic is what they really wanted. It was woven. It was a special material. And this is the material that was closest to Jesus' body. And most scholars believe that the material that was closest to a body was woven by his mother. Mary made this tunic that he wore. And so as he was on the cross withering and without clothes on, because he didn't have any clothes on, unfortunately, on the cross, it was shameful. And as he was on the cross dying, the soldiers were gambling for his clothes, but the most important one was that tunic. And could you imagine his mother right there watching him die and wither on the cross, that they were gambling for the most important piece of clothing that she personally made for him? Moms, how many of you know it would be heartbreaking to watch that take place? It would be devastating to watch people that didn't even care gambling and fighting over something you made specifically for your child. And so as she's sitting there weeping, not only for the death of her son, but she's weeping because they have no care and no concern for his clothing that she made. I imagine as she was sewing that tunic, she was praying for her son. As she was sewing that tunic, she was singing to the Lord. As she was making that tunic, she was thinking all about him. And there they are, carelessly gambling over a piece of clothing that she personally took care of. So as Jesus is there on the cross dying, and he says, woman, behold your son. He's also having compassion, saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, how does that fit into you and I this morning? How does that go along with what you and I are going through? Now, look at me for a minute. Some of you are weathering some storms right now that nobody else knows about. You're dealing with some emotional issues. You're dealing with some physical issues. Some of you are dealing with some serious spiritual issues. And you really wonder, does God even care about me? May I tell you, yes, he does. He knows what's going on. 10 years ago, Sherry, when you were dealing with that cancer, where was God? Right there. Where is he right now? right here. He cares. He has compassion. Some people say, well, he's a God of wrath and of anger and of judgment. Yes, he's a God of wrath. He has to judge sin. He has to purge sin. But here's the issue. Jesus took that punishment on our behalf. And why did he do it? Because he had compassion on us. While we were yet sinners, finish the verse with me, Christ died for us. He had compassion on his mother. He knew what she was dealing with, and he knew that she needed to be taken care of. He had compassion for his family. But look at the second part of this statement. Behold thy mother. Behold thy mother, he says in verse 27. Then saith he to the disciple, who is John, behold thy mother. Now wait a minute. Why is that such an act of compassion? Well, let me show you why. Put your finger right here. Go back to Matthew 26. Let me show you why this is an act of compassion. Why he says this. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 47. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 47. Now Jesus has prayed. He's in the garden, and he's getting ready to get arrested. Verse number 47 of Matthew 26 says this, and while he, speaking of Jesus, while he yet speaking to his disciples, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that had betrayed him, who was Judas, betrayed him, gave them a sign. This is what he said, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then come thee, and he laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas said, Hey, guys, listen, I'm going to go up to him, and the person that I kiss, that's the one that you want. He comes up to him and says, Master, you can just hear the garbage in his voice. He kisses him, and they immediately arrest him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Peter, who always acted rashly, took his sword out and went, shoo. Now Peter was a bad aim. He probably was intended to take his head off. But couldn't see very well. Apparently it was dark, and he took his ear off and said, how many of you agree losing an ear would still hurt pretty bad? He took his ear right off. Then Jesus says to him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Peter, put your sword up. Don't you think that I can call the angels of heaven to come down and wipe all these people out? Peter, I don't need you defending me, because I must die. Now hold on just a second. I want us to set aside just for a moment, and I want us to think, if you were in Peter's place, and you saw your master, now realizing all the mistakes Peter had made, and you saw Jesus getting ready to get arrested, would you have pulled your sword out to defend him? Would you have taken that sword out and said, ah! Peter had to have had a lot of bravery to do that, because all these other guys had swords and clubs and staves. He was going to be an instant pincushion. So Jesus saves him by stopping him. But also this way, Jesus knew that if Peter saved him, that he wouldn't go to the cross and die. He had to die. So it says, Peter, put your sword away. Verse number 53. Thinkest that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Underlined that. It must be. Jesus had to die for you. He had to die for you. He had to die for you. Now about the balcony, I'm not sure. He had to die for me. All the rotten, nasty sins I've ever committed, he had to die. He says, this must happen. Because look at it, folks. If he didn't die, somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay. And I'm glad that Jesus paid for it all. So he says, Peter, this has got to happen. Let it take place. Verse 55, he says, and the same hour Jesus to the multitudes, he says this, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you didn't even lay a hold on me then. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now here's the statement I wanted to get to right here. Then all the disciples. How many recognize what the word all means? Means every single one of them. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Now who does that include? John. We get on Peter all the time for his denying Jesus three times. But John ran just like Peter did. John took off! We don't see John drawing a sword. We don't see John trying to do anything to defend Jesus. John runs away! A coward. How many of you think that Jesus loves cowards? Some of you don't. Some of you are too afraid to lift your hands. You're a coward. I'm just teasing. He loves cowards. So John runs away. Now let me show you the compassion. Go back to John 19 real quick. Verse 27 says this, then saith he to the disciple, who was John, behold thy mother. Why in the world then would Jesus give his mother's responsibility to a coward? Why in the world would Jesus trust a coward to watch out for his mother? Because you know why? Jesus didn't look at the cowardice. He looked at who John really was. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. You're not defined by one single act. How many of you are praising God for that? I am glad that I'm not defined by my worst moment in my life. I'm sure as John was writing this gospel account, and I'm sure as he was living the rest of his life, he was remembering and reminded daily the time he ran away, the time he showed his yellow belly. But I think he was also reminded that the Savior, while he was dying on the cross, looked down at him and said, John, take care of my mama. Because I'm not done with you yet. Now look at me. If we were all honest in here this morning, we could honestly say this. Man, I've messed up. I've been following Jesus for X amount of years, and I have messed up time and time again. Why in the world does he keep giving me a second chance and a third chance and a 100th chance? Why? Because his compassion on us. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. Praise God for that. You know, my biggest fear is not dying. My biggest fear is being set on a shelf and never being used of him again. That's my biggest fear. Because if I die, I'm going to heaven. Woo! How many of you going with me? You on that train? But you know what? I don't want to be set on a shelf. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, I try to keep my body under subjection, lest at any time I should be a castaway or I should be put aside, not used again. That's my biggest fear, not to be used again. So why does God still use me in spite of me? Compassion. Why does God still use you in spite of you? Compassion. Don't give up on yourself. God hadn't give up on you. He hadn't give up on you. So we see his statement of compassion to his disciples. But I want to show you a third one that's not listed here, but it's very, very evident. Go back to John 17 now. Let me show you the third act of compassion to his future disciples. And who are his future disciples? Youans, usins, means, y'all, my compadres, my brethren, fellow pilgrims, you. Because look what he says in John chapter 17. And by the way, this is the Lord's Prayer, okay? I know we look at our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's just a blueprint for prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. And look what he says here. He's speaking to God. And he says in John chapter 17, verse number 20, he says, Neither pray I for these alone, speaking of his disciples. He says, I don't pray for these alone. I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. How many of you have believed on Jesus because of what you've read? So put your name right here. He is speaking about you. Now, how in the world could Jesus see you and I at this time? Can I share it with you? Nobody else needs to know this, but I'll share it with you. Because he's God. He knows everything. He saw us. He says, and here's what he prays, that they all may be one. I want them to be together. As you, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. He wants us to be together. He wants us to be of one accord. He wants us to have the same mindset. Why? So that the world may know. I'm glad that Charles Pippin, I don't know where he is, if he's even alive anymore, but I am so glad that Charles Pippin read me God's word. And that as God's word went into my mind and into my soul, he saved me that day. I'm so glad that he sent Charles Pippin into my life. How many of you have a Charles Pippin in your life? Well, I have a Mabel in my life. Well, that's fine. You just put the name in there. You know what I'm talking about. Now he continues on. Look what he says next. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also, speaking of us, that they also whom you have given me, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see what he's praying for? Look at it again. It says, that they may behold my glory. What's he talking about? What is he praying for us? That we may get to heaven one day. And we don't deserve it. I deserve hell. I deserve it. But God said to his son Jesus, I'm going to let Brian Schuler come to be with me for eternity because of your death on his behalf. So he didn't just pray and have compassion on Mary. He didn't just pray and have compassion on John and his disciples. He was on that cross and he said, I have compassion on Josh Deck. I have compassion on Gloria Eisner. I even have compassion on Tanner Lawson. Are you awake up there, Tanner? He has compassion on you and me. Praise God for his cry of compassion. I keep going back to that song, Miss Shirley. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many of you agree that's a wonderful cry of love? Praise God for that. Miss Shirley, come if you wouldn't mind. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. The cry of love, of compassion. Mother, behold your son. John, behold your son. I'm giving you another chance, John. Disciples, it's okay. You're going to see me one day again. I love you. I'm thankful for God's compassion. How many of you can honestly raise your hand and say you're thankful for God's compassion this morning? But here's an even more difficult question. Can you acknowledge within your heart this morning that you don't deserve it? Why in the world would Jesus die for you? See, because that's the only way to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So why in the world would he die for you and for me? Because he loved us. Now, I firmly believe that there are people in this auditorium that don't know Christ as their Savior. You've heard of his compassion. Maybe you've even seen it demonstrated by the acts of other human beings. But you've never experienced yourself. You're either trying to save yourself, you're trying to deny Jesus because you really don't want to change your life, or number three, you've never heard before. So let me ask you this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but I want you to ask yourself this question. Have I experienced the compassion of Christ by trusting him as my Savior? If you have, praise God. But if you haven't yet, today's the day. Don't put it off. Don't try to make an excuse. Either Jesus is your Savior or he's not. Today's the day. So I want to pray for you right now. I'm not going to ask you to acknowledge in any way. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands or your heads. But I'm going to pray for you specifically right now that you would trust Christ as your Savior before it's eternally too late. Heavenly Father, you know every soul in this room. God, you know where we stand and our relationship with you. We're either your enemy or we're your child. And I pray, God, and I thank you for those people who have trusted Christ as their Savior. They have placed their faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Son. They have called upon his name to save them. And I praise you, God, for that. But God, I realize and understand that I can't assume that everybody in this room has done that. And I'm praying for those precious souls at this very moment that they would realize and understand that without Jesus, there is no hope. But with Jesus, there's eternal hope. So God, would you please call them to you right now? Would you please call them to utter the words of God, forgive me. God, I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want to have eternity and eternal life because of what Jesus has done for me. I pray, God, that they will do that this morning. They will call upon him to save them. Because, God, that's the only hope any of us have. Thank you for your compassion on Mother Mary, his mother. Thank you, God, for your compassion on John and the other disciples. But, God, thank you more importantly for your compassion on me and all those who've been trusted Christ as their Savior. Now bless us and strengthen us and guide us today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.